Story one, I was driving across Kansas on I-70 a couple of years ago, heading west through the middle of nowhere. It was one of those nights where the whole sky was covered in dark clouds and the wind was picking up. I'd been driving for hours, and as usual, the only company was the steady hum of the tires on the pavement and the occasional flicker of lightning in the distance. Then the storm really hit. The rain came down so fast and hard that I could barely see a few feet in front of me. The windshield wipers were working overtime, but even they couldn't keep up. The road started to flood, so I pulled into one of those little service plazas, hoping to wait out the worst of it. I parked under the canopy of lights, figuring I'd be safe for a bit while the storm passed. The place was empty except for a couple of trucks parked farther away. I sat there in the truck, trying to stay calm, watching the rain beat against the windows. The thunder was loud, shaking the whole truck with each strike. The lightning was getting closer, too. It was like the sky was flashing in rapid succession, lighting up the whole world for a split second before plunging everything into darkness again. Then out of nowhere, there was a blackout. Everything went dark, the plaza lights flickering out as the sky lit up with another round of lightning. But this was different. It wasn't like normal lightning. It was brighter, way brighter. And it wasn't just a flash in the distance. It was like the whole sky was lighting up from behind the clouds. It was so bright, I thought my truck's headlights had somehow malfunctioned and were shining through the rain. I leaned forward, squinting out the window, trying to figure out what the hell I was seeing. The bright light started moving, slowly. It wasn't a bolt of lightning, that's for sure. It was too controlled, too steady. It drifted behind the clouds at a pace that didn't make any sense. It wasn't fast enough to be an aircraft, but it was way too fast for anything natural, especially given the storm. It moved up over the hills in the distance, then across the tree line, its eerie blue glow illuminating the parking lot below it. My heart was pounding in my chest. I didn't know what I was looking at, but I could feel the hairs on the back of my neck standing up. It was like something out of a movie, but this wasn't some stupid alien flick. It felt too real, too close. It moved slowly at first, then all at once. It crossed directly overhead. For a brief moment, everything went silent. The wind stopped, the rain tapered off, and I swear the whole world held its breath. The light was so bright it lit up the whole plaza. I could see everything in a cold, unnatural blue. The truck's shadow stretched out beneath me, distorted by the strange glow. I could see the trees moving in the distance, the outline of the service station. Everything was suddenly visible in this sickly blue hue. I don't know how long it lasted, a few seconds maybe. Time felt like it was stretching out, but I couldn't look away. It wasn't just the light, it was the feeling that something wasn't right. It felt like the world had tilted on its axis. I had this sudden urge to get out of the truck, to run, but my body was frozen. All I could do was stare as the light moved past. And then, just like that, it was gone. It disappeared beyond the tree line, behind the service plaza, and everything snapped back to normal. The rain started up again, the wind howling, and the lights flickered back on as if someone had flipped a switch. The parking lot was flooded in rainwater again, but the eerie blue glow was gone. Everything was back to what it had been before, except for one thing. I felt like I had just seen something that I shouldn't have, something that wasn't supposed to exist. My heart was racing. I grabbed my keys, slamming the truck into gear without thinking. I couldn't sit there anymore. I couldn't be around that place. I floored the pedal, heading back onto the highway, not daring to look back in my mirrors. I kept expecting to see something, anything, following me. Maybe a UFO, maybe just my mind playing tricks on me, but I didn't care. I just wanted to get out of there, fast. As I passed the spot where the light had vanished, I glanced over my shoulder. For just a moment, the road behind me was still, the lights of the plaza now far in the distance. But I couldn't shake the feeling that I wasn't alone, like something or someone had been watching me. The rest of the drive was a blur. I didn't stop until I hit the next town, pulling into a gas station, feeling the weight of the night pressing down on me. I was shaken, still trying to make sense of what I saw. I told myself I'd just imagined it, that it was the storm playing tricks on me. But deep down, I knew I hadn't. Story 2. I'll never forget the night I drove into Louisiana. I'd been on the road for days heading west, crossing through endless stretches of flat land and lonely highways. It had been a long drive, and by the time I was getting close to Baton Rouge, I could feel the weariness creeping in. The clock on the dashboard blinked 10:15 p.m., and there was nothing but the hum of my tires on the pavement and the occasional flicker of a dying street lamp. The sky had started to get that eerie purple-black color, like it was hiding something just out of view. The humidity hit me before I even rolled the windows down, thick, suffocating. I had been told about the swamps here, how they could get under your skin, how they could mess with your mind, but I didn't really take it seriously. It was just a swamp, right? A bunch of water and trees. But when you're in it, it feels different, like the land has a pulse of its own. I noticed the cars at first. They were parked off to the side of the road, not broken down, just sitting there. A lot of them. Their headlights dim, casting long shadows on the swamp. I should have passed it off as some kind of weird local thing, but there was something unsettling about it. There were too many cars in such a small stretch, and they were all just still. No people, no lights flashing, nothing to explain it. A shiver ran through me, but I figured it was just the exhaustion. Still, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. As I kept driving, the road narrowed and the trees grew thicker, almost like they were closing in. The swamp stretched on both sides, dark and silent, like the earth itself had swallowed any noise. I felt something pulling at me, something deep inside, a strange, almost magnetic pull. I didn't know why, but I suddenly wanted to stop. I could have kept going, but for some reason I didn't. It was like I had no control over it. I tried to shake it off and pressed my foot down harder on the gas, going about 60. Then I saw the bridge. Just a short one, not too long, but long enough to make you feel trapped if something was wrong. The headlights of my car caught the first sign of it, the golden retriever. The puppy was just sitting there, right on the edge of the bridge, looking at me as I came closer. I didn't know what to think. It was bizarre. There was no other car around, no sign of anyone walking, no houses anywhere nearby. Just me and that puppy, sitting alone in the dark. It was in a dog bed, like someone had just placed it there, calm as can be. It looked clean, too clean, and it wasn't moving. Not even an ear flicker. It didn't bark, didn't look scared, just stared at me, like it was waiting for something, something I couldn't understand. I slowed down and my mind raced. Why the hell was it there? There was no way a dog could have gotten to that bridge on its own. There was no way. I almost pulled over. Almost. Something about it felt wrong. Like if I stopped, something would happen. But I couldn't look away. The puppy was staring at me like it knew something I didn't. A deep, sinking feeling twisted in my stomach. The whole world around me seemed to hold its breath. I swear to God, the air felt thicker when I passed it. Like something just crossed my path. And now I was, I don't know, involved in something I shouldn't have been. My foot was already back on the gas, but the fear started crawling up my spine. I was halfway over the bridge when the puppy did something that made my blood freeze. It moved, just a slight shift, but enough to make me slam on the brakes. My heart was in my throat as I looked in the rearview mirror. The dog had turned its head. I could see its eyes, empty. There was no life in them. Just a hollow black void, like it wasn't even real, like it was, waiting. I don't know how long I sat there. My hands gripped the wheel, knuckles white. I felt like I had to leave, like staying any longer would mean something bad would happen, but I couldn't make myself move. Everything in me screamed to just get the hell out of there, but the pull, that strange force, it had me stuck. The world outside felt too still, too silent. The sound of my breath was all I could hear. Then the puppy started to move again, slowly. It wasn't walking, not like a normal dog. It just floated forward, inch by inch. It wasn't on the ground anymore, not even in the dog bed. It was just hovering. My pulse pounded in my ears as I tried to blink it away, to make sense of what I was seeing, but it wouldn't stop. The dog didn't stop. It just kept floating forward toward me, like it was coming for me. My mind was screaming, but my body was frozen. I couldn't move. It got closer and...
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Closer. The second I snapped out of it, I floored the gas pedal, and the car shot forward, tearing across the bridge like I was running from a nightmare I couldn't escape. I didn't look back, didn't slow down until I was miles down the road. I don't know what happened on that bridge. I don't know what I saw, but I know one thing for sure. I will never stop in Louisiana again. That place, that swamp, it calls to you, and once you hear it, you can never forget. Story 3. I was driving alone down California's Highway 168 near Mono Hot Springs. It was late, probably past midnight, and the road was empty, just the occasional flicker of my headlights illuminating the dark, empty landscape. It had been a long day, and I was tired. The only thing keeping me awake was the rhythmic hum of the tires on the asphalt and the occasional sharp curve that kept me alert. I remember I hadn't seen a car in over an hour. Not a single vehicle had passed me since I left the last gas station. The road was winding, and the hills on either side seemed to loom even darker in the night. It was one of those places where you feel like you're the only one left on Earth, with nothing but the sounds of the night and the occasional screech of your tires against the winding curves. Then I saw it. At first, I thought it was just a deer. I'd seen plenty of deer in these parts, and I was used to them darting across the road. But this was different. It was standing on the side of the road, near the edge of the trees. Nothing unusual there, until I saw its eyes. They were glowing, not the usual reflection you get from headlights. This was something else, like tiny fiery spots of red that almost seemed to pulse. My heart skipped a beat. I slowed down, instinctively pressing my foot to the brake. But as I got closer, something in my gut told me this wasn't a normal deer. It was on its hind legs. I slammed on the brakes, the tires screeching against the asphalt, and jerked the wheel. My car skidded to a stop, and I barely had time to process what I was seeing. The deer, if that's what it was standing completely upright, its body unnatural, like something out of a nightmare. It wasn't just walking on two legs. It was standing there, staring at me, frozen. I could barely breathe. I leaned forward, my eyes fixed on those glowing red orbs. It didn't move. It just stared. My hands were shaking so bad I almost couldn't grip the steering wheel. I wanted to roll up the window, but I couldn't move. Something kept me there, staring back at whatever the hell this thing was. Then I saw it twitch. It was so quick, but it was there. A small jerk of its head, like it was looking at me through the corner of its eye. And that was enough to snap me out of whatever trance I was in. I quickly reached for the gear shift, my pulse racing. But before I could throw the car into reverse, it took one slow step forward. I froze. My breath caught in my throat. The thing didn't move like a deer. Hell, it didn't move like anything I knew. It was like it was learning to walk on two legs, or worse, pretending to walk on two legs. I started to feel dizzy, like the air around me had thickened. My skin crawled. My mind screamed at me to drive, but I couldn't. The deer, no, whatever this thing was, it was still moving toward me. Every step it took was deliberate, like it was trying to make sure I saw it. The glowing eyes never left me. Suddenly I heard it, a sound that didn't belong. A low, wet sniff, like it was sniffing the air. I couldn't see its nose or its mouth, but the sound came from somewhere deep in its chest. My breath hitched. I was paralyzed. My body wouldn't respond. I don't know why, but I turned the engine back on. The noise of the engine revving seemed to snap whatever spell had been cast on me. My foot slammed on the gas and I sped off without a second thought. I didn't even look in the rearview mirror. I just kept my eyes on the road, my hands locked tight on the wheel, my body trembling from head to toe. I don't know how long I drove after that. It felt like hours, but it was probably just a few minutes. All I remember is the road stretching out in front of me, my breath coming in ragged gasps. I didn't see anything in the rearview mirror. No deer, no glowing eyes, nothing. When I finally reached the next town, I pulled into a gas station and parked. I sat there for a while, my heart pounding in my chest. I don't know why I even stopped. Maybe to convince myself I hadn't imagined it. I got out of the car, my legs weak beneath me, and leaned against the hood for support. I kept staring at the empty road, and then it hit me. I realized I hadn't seen any other animals the whole time. No other deer, no signs of life. Just that one thing. The gas station attendant must have noticed something was off because he came out to ask if I was okay. I nodded, not trusting my voice. I wasn't even sure I was okay. I left soon after, but the rest of the drive was a blur. I kept checking my rearview mirror every few seconds, but I didn't see anything. Still, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. I kept thinking about those glowing eyes, the way it stood on two legs, the way it sniffed the air. I don't know what I saw out there, but I know it wasn't a deer. I still drive that road from time to time, but I haven't seen anything like that again. Story 4. I was driving through the back roads of Arkansas around 3 a.m. The night was quiet, too quiet. I was headed home after a long week. No other cars on the road, just me and the endless stretch of winding asphalt cutting through dense woods. It felt like I was alone in the world. The clock on my dashboard blinked 3:02 as I hit the first sign of fog, a heavy, thick fog that rolled in out of nowhere. 1 minute, the air was clear, and the next, I couldn't see 5 feet in front of me. I should have pulled over. I knew that. I've driven enough at night to know when it's time to stop, but sometimes pulling over can be just as dangerous. So I slowed down to 20 miles per hour and flicked on my hazards. I couldn't see the lines on the road, couldn't see the trees on the side, nothing. Just gray and more gray. Minutes stretched on. I gripped the wheel tighter, my eyes straining, trying to pierce through the murk. The headlights barely made a dent in it, and the longer I drove, the more uneasy I became. Something didn't feel right. There wasn't another car in sight, no headlights behind me, no taillights ahead of me. It felt like I was the only person left in the world, and for some reason, that was unsettling. The loneliness made it worse. I could hear the low hum of the engine, the air conditioner running to keep me cool, but even the sound felt muffled, like the fog was swallowing it. My pulse quickened, and I had to fight the urge to panic. 15 minutes had passed when I saw them. Shadows. I froze. They weren't just any shadows, though. These were humanoid. Human-shaped figures darting through the fog, always just on the edges of the headlights. First one, then two, then more. They weren't walking or running, but gliding, as if they weren't quite touching the ground. The shadows flickered in and out of view, blending into the fog, vanishing, only to reappear a few feet away. My breath caught in my throat. I couldn't make out any features, couldn't even see their faces, but they were moving. Moving in a way that didn't seem right. I wasn't imagining it. They were there, and they were too close. I wanted to call someone, anyone, but my phone was dead. No service. Of course, no service. I cursed under my breath and gripped the wheel harder, my knuckles turning white. The shadows seemed to be circling me, weaving through the fog on either side of the road. There were at least five or six of them. They weren't making a sound. Not a single footstep, not a breath. Just the eerie swish of the fog, thick and damp. My heart was pounding now, but I couldn't pull over. I couldn't stop. The idea of being stationary, of being completely exposed out there in the middle of nowhere, it felt worse than driving through this fog. I had to keep moving. I sped up just a little, from 20 to 25 miles per hour, maybe 30. But the faster I went, the more the shadows seemed to follow. They moved with me. One would appear ahead of me, only to dart off to the side as if it was anticipating my every move. Then another would glide into my periphery, close enough that I thought I saw something resembling a face. Just for a second, a pale, distorted face. Too pale, like it had never seen the sun. I gritted my teeth and pressed harder on the gas pedal. 35 miles per hour, 40, 45. The engine roared louder, but the fog didn't thin. The figures were still there, lurking in the edges of my vision. I could feel them, even when I wasn't looking at them directly. I was being watched, and it was getting closer. One of them, no, two, suddenly dashed across the road in front of me, barely missing the car. I swerved, my heart leaping into my throat. The car swayed, tires screeching against the asphalt as I fought to keep it steady. But as I corrected my path, I glanced into the rearview mirror. There was nothing there. No one behind me. Not a single shadow. My breath came in shallow gasps as I scanned the road ahead, too terrified to take my eyes off it. I had to get out of this fog, but it was relentless, like it had its own agenda, like it was trying to keep me there. I pushed the gas pedal down harder, 50, 55 miles per hour, not caring about the speed limit anymore. I just wanted out. The fog was suffocating, the shadows still dancing in my peripheral vision, and the air felt thick, heavy, like something was pressing down on me. And then, without warning, it ended. The fog just lifted. One second, it was there, and the next, it was gone. I could see the road clearly again. The trees, the gravel shoulders, everything. I was out of it. My hands were shaking, my chest tight, but I didn't dare stop. Not yet. I could still feel the weight of those figures watching me, even though the fog was gone. I slammed the gas pedal to the floor, pushing the car to 65, 70 miles per hour. The road was clear now, but I wasn't taking any chances. I didn't stop until the sun came up. And when I finally pulled into a gas station, I was sweating, my heart still racing. I don't know what I saw that night, whether it was some kind of trick of the mind or something else. But I'm never driving those back roads in Arkansas at 3 a.m. again. Not ever. Story 5. It was around 3 a.m. when we left Austin after finishing up our set at SXSW. The band and I were driving west toward Los Angeles, where we were starting another tour the next day. We'd been in Austin for almost a week, so we were all well rested, at least as well rested as you can be after a week of late nights and early mornings. I remember the drive was smooth at first, the kind of peaceful highway stretch that makes you feel like the world's empty. The engine hum of the van was like a constant background noise blending in with the sounds of tires on asphalt. The conversation was light. Everyone was in a good mood, laughing about ridiculous things, sharing dumb stories from the road. Then we crested a hill, and the landscape ahead of us changed. I noticed it first. The highway below us was clear for miles in one direction, no cars at all. But the other side? It was jam-packed, just cars and trucks sitting there, not moving at all. My eyes kept scanning, trying to figure out what was causing the holdup. I half-joked, "What do you think, some kind of apocalypse? Maybe a convoy of clowns doing donuts?" Everyone laughed, but the mood shifted when we got closer. It wasn't just a traffic jam. There was something else, something that stopped me dead in my tracks. A few hundred yards ahead, I saw the wreck. At first, it didn't make sense. The car, an old GMC Envoy, wasn't just flipped. It was like it had been tossed around. The kind of crash you only see in movies, like when they throw a car off a cliff and then magically land it without anyone dying. But this one wasn't some Hollywood stunt. The car was completely wrecked, flipped at least 5 or 6 times, and somehow it had landed on the cement median, perfectly balanced. The body was a mess of twisted metal, all the windows blown out, including the windshield. It looked like a disaster zone. The air in the van grew heavier. My stomach dropped, like the whole world went silent, even though the engine was still roaring beneath us. And then I saw them. I froze, my eyes locked on the bodies, lying face down on the asphalt. A woman and a child. The woman had short, dark hair, and she was dressed in a pale green sweater. The kid couldn't have been more than 5 or 6, wearing a blue shirt. Both of them were still, their bodies twisted at angles that didn't make sense, like they'd been thrown from the car. I couldn't look away. They were dead, no doubt about it. "Holy shit," one of the bandmates whispered from the back seat. His voice was strained, like he couldn't believe what he was seeing. We all fell quiet. There were no jokes, no laughs, just silence, stretching on for what felt like an eternity as we slowly drove past the wreckage. I remember staring at the wreck, feeling a chill crawl up my spine, like there was something wrong with how the scene was laid out. It wasn't just the horror of the accident. There was something about it, something off. The bodies were too still. They didn't belong there, not in that way. "Are we stopping?" another bandmate asked quietly. I could barely respond. "No," I said. We can't. There's nothing we can do." It wasn't that I didn't want to help. I don't even know if there was any chance of help at that point. But something inside me told me that getting involved, that stopping there, would make everything worse. The whole situation felt wrong, like a nightmare I was trying to wake up from. But no matter how fast we drove, I couldn't escape it. The image of the wreck, the bodies, haunted me. The road stretched on, but the silence in the van was oppressive. Not even the engine hum could shake it. We passed a few other cars, but it was like no one dared to speak. The wreck had stolen any words we had left. The whole thing didn't feel real, like it was some kind of twisted hallucination, except I could still hear the van's tires on the road, still feel the vibration under my feet. But the closer we got to the next town, the more I started to feel like we weren't moving at all. The van seemed to slow, almost imperceptibly, and my head started to ache. I rubbed my eyes and tried to focus, but everything felt blurry. "Hey, do you guys feel that?" I asked. My voice sounded far away, even to me. Nobody answered. I glanced at the rearview mirror. The highway behind us was empty, but in the distance, just out of sight, I thought I saw something. A dark figure, barely visible, just standing there on the shoulder of the road. My heart skipped a beat. The figure was too far for me to make out, but I couldn't shake the feeling that it was watching us, waiting for us to come closer. "Did you see that?" I asked, my voice shaking now. But no one answered. I turned to look at the others and their faces were pale, frozen in their own quiet panic. We didn't stop. We didn't talk. We just kept driving. I can't tell you how long it took to reach the nearest rest stop, but when we finally pulled over, no one wanted to get out of the van. We all sat there for what felt like hours, too scared to move, too scared to speak. I wanted to shake it off. Maybe it was just the shock of seeing the wreck, but something about that night didn't sit right with me. It felt like it had followed us, like that wreck wasn't just an accident, but something that was meant to happen. And I can't shake the feeling that whatever I saw that night, whatever happened on that highway, wasn't just a crash. Story 6. It was around 2 a.m. when I realized I was going to run out of fuel. Montana stretches on forever, and that night the sky was an endless black void. No moon, no stars, nothing. The kind of dark you don't forget. The truck's fuel gauge was flirting with empty, and I knew I was pushing my luck. My dispatcher had miscalculated my route mileage again, so I had to make an emergency stop at a gas station that was way off the highway. It was a long stretch from where I was, and I was starting to feel like I'd made a bad call. I turned off the main highway and onto a narrow, poorly lit road, the kind that disappears into nothing. The only sound was the hum of my engine and the tires grinding against the cracked pavement. My headlights cut through the dark, but I hadn't seen a single vehicle in over an hour. It was just me, the truck, and endless miles of Montana emptiness. I kept my eyes on the road, shifting nervously in my seat, checking my fuel gauge like it was going to change if I stared long enough. The silence was almost oppressive. That's when I saw it. At first, I thought it was some kind of debris in the road, maybe a pile of branches or trash. But as I got closer, it started to look more like a shape, something solid. I slowed down, straining to make it out through the headlights. As I got closer, my stomach dropped. It was a figure, and not the kind of figure that belonged in the middle of nowhere at 2 a.m. My heart kicked up a notch as I tried to make sense of it. The moment I passed it, I slammed on the brakes, tires screeching on the road. I stared in my rearview, heart racing. There it was, too still, too wrong. I backed up, my breath coming fast and shallow. I didn't know what I was expecting, but it sure wasn't what I saw next. A headless, mangled body lay in the middle of the road, lit up by my truck's brake lights. No clothes, no fur, just a mess. Skin gone, like it had been peeled off. The ribs were exposed, curved in all the wrong directions, almost like the thing had been chewed up and spit out. I couldn't understand it. It was just so wrong. The air felt colder all of a sudden, like the temperature had dropped 10 degrees in a blink. I froze. I didn't know if I was looking at a human or something else. A part of me thought about calling the cops, but I pulled out my phone and saw I had no service. The nearest town was over 50 miles away, and I knew I wouldn't make it there without fuel. I glanced around, trying to make sense of things. That's when I saw them. At the edge of the road, just past the barbed wire fence, a group of coyotes had appeared out of nowhere. They were standing still, watching me. Their eyes reflected the light from my truck. I don't know how long they had been there, but the moment I noticed them, they started moving toward me. One, then two, then three more followed. They trotted slowly, deliberately, like they knew I was there, like they knew exactly what was happening. I didn't want to stick around, not with whatever that thing was lying in the road and those coyotes closing in. I turned and jumped back into the truck, slamming the door behind me. My hands were shaking as I reached for the ignition, and I didn't look back until I had my foot on the gas and I was barreling down the road. I don't know what happened to that body. I don't know if it was real, if I was hallucinating, or if it was some twisted joke, but I can't get that image out of my head. The mess of bones, the steam rising from it in the cold night air. I've driven some strange routes since then, but nothing that's made me feel the way that night did. That emptiness, that feeling like something wasn't quite right, like I was out of place, or maybe something was out of place with me. Story 7. It was early morning, maybe around 5 a.m., one of those misty summer days where everything feels slightly off. I had just left London, heading out on the A3. The road was quiet, as you'd expect at that hour. I remember the mist hanging low, barely lifting, just enough to make the headlights blur and the air thick with that damp feeling. I'd been driving for a few years then, long enough to know the roads well. But that morning, something didn't sit right. There was a figure up ahead. At first, I thought it was just someone waiting for a lift, a young woman about 20, standing by the side of the road. She was wearing a long blue dress that looked out of place, even for the early hours. It wasn't the kind of attire anyone would wear to catch a ride, especially on the A3, which back then wasn't divided like it is now. The edges of the road were open, just ditches and hedges with no real barriers. It felt like the kind of place you wouldn't want to stop. As I got closer, I saw her standing there, looking towards me. I didn't think much of it, just another person out there at a strange time. But then, just as I was about to pass her, she moved. She didn't step aside. No, she lunged right into the path of my lorry. I slammed the brakes. My heart skipped, and I swear I could hear the tires screeching on the wet asphalt. There was no way I could have avoided her. I thought for sure I'd hit her, felt the impact in my gut before I even heard it. But there was no thud, no crash, no blood, nothing. I pulled over in a panic, practically throwing myself out of the cab. My hands were shaking. The other cars behind me stopped too. A couple of drivers came over. I'm sure they saw her too, but I couldn't focus. My mind was racing, trying to piece together what happened. One of the drivers, a guy in a van, stepped up. "You okay, mate?" he asked. "You sure you didn't hit her?" "I don't know." I was breathless. I kept looking at the road. I swear she'd been right there, just a second ago. He glanced down at the ground and then back at me, his face pale. "Mate, there's nothing here." He turned to the others. "Anyone see where she went?" A few more people joined in, looking around, checking the ditches, and getting down on their hands and knees. Nothing. No sign of her. No tire marks. No blood. No body. Just the road. I couldn't make sense of it. I felt like I was going mad. I knew what I saw. I knew I had hit her. There was no question in my mind. Yet she was gone. One of the drivers, an older guy, said what I was too afraid to admit out loud. "I think we should get out of here." The way his voice shook made the hairs on my neck stand up. I couldn't argue with him. We all just got back in our vehicles and I drove off without another word. I couldn't stop thinking about it for days. I kept replaying it in my mind, how I slammed the brakes, how she jumped in front of me. There was no way she could have disappeared that fast, not without a trace. Yet there was nothing. I don't care what anyone says, I know what I saw. I drove the A3 for years after that, but I always took a detour. I couldn't bring myself to drive that stretch again, not after what happened. Story 8. I was rolling into Albuquerque from the west, somewhere around 2 a.m., when it happened. I remember the feeling of being alone on the road, the desert stretching out for miles, dark as pitch. It was just me and the truck, the hum of the engine, the occasional flicker of my headlights catching the outline of some cactus or distant hill. There's this long stretch, a winding descent into the valley where the city sits. All those blinking lights far below. I had driven this stretch before, countless times, but tonight felt different. The air was thick, almost like it was holding its breath. I had my radio off, too tired to bother with it, just the sound of my tires on the asphalt. The only other thing I could hear was the wind, but even that felt muffled. I couldn't explain why, but I had this weird sense of something, like I was being watched. That feeling that sticks with you for a second, like you're just about to turn around and find someone standing there. But I didn't turn around. I just kept my eyes on the road. That's when I first saw them, a pair of headlights, far behind, coming up fast. At first, I thought it was another truck, but then it didn't look right. It wasn't a big rig. The lights were too small, too sharp. Before I could make sense of it, I saw another set, and another. And then, out of nowhere, it was like the whole desert had come alive. Motorcycles. Dozens of them. No, maybe more. They started flying past me, weaving around my rig, cutting across lanes. A blur of neon ground effects lighting up the night. I could hear them revving, loud, like 100 engines all roaring in unison. Some of the riders were standing on their bikes. Others were swerving back and forth, like they were showing off. I couldn't tell how many there were at first. It felt like an army, a mob, too many to count. I'd never seen anything like it. One of them, a guy with long hair, popped a wheelie right next to me, then swerved around the front of my truck, disappearing into the dark ahead. Then a girl, her chest bare, flashed me as she whipped by, grinning like she didn't have a care in the world. She didn't slow down, didn't look back. It felt like a movie scene, but it didn't look right. None of it did. There was something off about it all, something unsettling. It went on for what felt like forever. Every time I thought they were gone, another wave would rush past. The speed they were going, it wasn't just fast, it was reckless. I could feel the wind from their bikes hitting me, like they were trying to push me off the road. My heart was racing. I thought maybe it was some kind of club or a stunt show, but it was too late, too random, too chaotic. And then something changed. I don't know how to explain it. The air felt thicker, like the temperature had dropped. The night itself seemed to pulse. That's when I heard something strange. It wasn't the sound of the motorcycles, but something deeper, a kind of humming, a vibration, like the earth itself was vibrating beneath me. It started low, like a growl in the distance. And then, just like that, it was gone. And with it, so were they, all of them. I looked around expecting to see them slowing down, gathering together. But there was nothing. No headlights in the rear view, no noise, just the black desert stretched out ahead of me. It was as if the entire thing had been some sort of mirage. The sound of my engine, the tires on the pavement, was the only thing I could hear. I shook my head, tried to shake off the feeling. Maybe I was just too tired. Maybe I was imagining things. But it felt real. Too real. I wasn't imagining that hum, that vibration. I kept going, my hands tight on the wheel, eyes darting between the rear view and the road ahead. But the feeling didn't go away. It lingered in my gut, like I was being hunted or something. That weight, that pressure. I kept expecting to see headlights in my mirrors again, but nothing. I don't know how much time passed. I kept looking behind me, but all I saw was dark desert. And yet, I couldn't shake the sense that I wasn't alone, that something was back there, watching me. I didn't dare pull over, didn't want to stop for fear I wouldn't be able to start again. The lights of Albuquerque finally started to come into view, that sprawling city below, but it felt like a dream, like I was driving into a place that wasn't real. I could still feel the hum in my chest, like it was radiating from the ground, and I could still hear those bikes, faint, almost like an echo. But there was no one there, just the city, the lights, and the silence. I got into the city without incident, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something had followed me. I don't know how to explain it, but I never drove through that stretch again. Not at night. Not alone. Story 9. I've been a trucker for years, but there's one thing that happened on the road that still gets to me. I've tried to shake it, tried to forget, but there's something about it that doesn't sit right. It was a regular drive from California to Utah. Long stretch of empty highway. Just me and the road. Nothing out of the ordinary, at least not until the yellow raincoat guy. It was around 2 in the afternoon. The sun was high, and the air was dry as I cruised through the desert. Nothing but miles of emptiness ahead. Not a car in sight for what felt like ages. That's when I saw him. Out of nowhere, this man appeared on the side of the road. Bright yellow rain jacket, soaked in the sunlight. He wasn't holding a sign, wasn't waving me down. He was just standing there, looking straight at me. Now I've seen a lot of weird things on the road. Trucker life isn't always as calm as you'd think, but this was different. Something in the way he was looking at me, like he was staring straight into my soul. His face, pale, eyes wide like he was about to collapse. He didn't move, didn't even blink. Just locked eyes with me for a good few seconds as I drove past. I've picked up a lot of signals over the years, gut feelings, instincts, and everything in me screamed, "Don't stop." It wasn't a voice or anything, just this overwhelming sense of wrongness. It was like the air around him wasn't right, like something wasn't supposed to be there. I felt cold, even though it was hot as hell outside, but I kept going. I didn't even slow down, just kept my foot on the gas, staring at him in my side mirror until he was out of sight. The rest of the drive was uneventful, the usual desert scenery. I stopped for gas once, grabbed a coffee, nothing that would make me think back on that moment. By the time I pulled into a diner for some dinner, it was dark. The place was empty, just a few trucks parked outside. I didn't even want to stop, but I was hungry and knew it was the only place for miles. I walked in, ordered the usual, and sat down at the counter. I was halfway through my meal when I noticed something that stopped me cold. Two tables over, sitting alone, was the man in the yellow raincoat. It wasn't just the coat. It was him. The same face. The same eerie, empty look. He was sitting there, hunched over his food, staring down into his plate. He didn't look up once. But there was no way he could have caught up to me. I'd been going well over the speed limit the whole way, and I hadn't seen another car on the road for hours. The place wasn't even close to where I saw him. Just some random spot between towns. My heart was pounding in my chest as I tried to convince myself it wasn't him. Maybe some other guy just happened to have the same coat, the same look. But I couldn't shake the feeling, like I was staring at the same guy. His posture was off, like he wasn't even really there, just a ghost sitting at a table. I didn't want to approach him, didn't want to make eye contact. Something about it felt like I was crossing some line I shouldn't. but I couldn't look away. And then out of nowhere, he turned his head, slow, deliberate, and looked straight at me. I swear to God, I froze. His eyes, those same wide, panicked eyes, locked onto mine, and it felt like the air in the room got heavier. I don't know how to explain it, but in that moment, I wasn't sure if I was seeing him or if he was seeing me. It was like he knew I was the one who had passed him on the road earlier. I didn't wait for him to do anything else. I didn't even finish my meal. I threw a few bills down on the counter, grabbed my coat, and bolted. I didn't care if I looked crazy. I just had to get out of there. I don't know how he got there, and I don't care to find out. I've been driving for years and seen plenty of things that make you question your sanity, but that yellow raincoat guy, I don't think I'll ever forget him, and I don't think I'll ever be able to explain it. Story 10. I was driving late on Chrome, the road cutting through the Everglades. You know the stretch, empty, desolate, no lights except for what you bring. I wasn't expecting anything out of the ordinary, just the usual monotony of the night. It's one of those drives that makes you feel like you're the only person left on Earth. The night air sticks to you, and the silence is thick, almost suffocating. I had my high beams on, light bar cutting through the blackness, just the faint hum of the tires and the occasional rustle in the brush. But then I saw something that froze me in place. I was coming around a bend, and out of nowhere, this thing steps out of the brush, huge, solid black, moving like it owned the road. It wasn't the shape of a deer or anything you'd expect to see around here. It was too sleek, too fluid, like it was born from the shadows. It didn't look like a Florida panther either. I know what those look like, even on chrome, but this thing was different. A damn black cat, the size of a puma, and not a puma either. Not something I could explain away.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Move slowly, but there was a sense of control to it, like it was deciding when to cross, when to wait. I slammed on the brakes, heart thudding in my chest. It wasn't like I could hit the thing. There wasn't enough time. But it wasn't like I could just keep driving either. My foot hovered over the pedal, unsure of what to do. The whole time, the thing just stood there staring at me. It didn't blink, didn't move. It felt like time had stopped. Now, I'd heard rumors about Chrome being cursed. People had said things about it being haunted, some nonsense about spirits or creatures that didn't belong in this world. I never bought into that crap. I'd driven this road more times than I could count. Never saw anything out of the ordinary. But this thing, this black cat, I don't know. It felt wrong. Wrong in a way that you couldn't put into words, just something in the air that told you, get the hell out of here. I didn't take my eyes off it. That's the thing about these kinds of situations. You can't look away. It was like I was waiting for it to do something, but it never did. It just stayed there, perfectly still, black as night. The only thing that moved were the trees in the wind behind it, swaying, creaking. I don't know how long I was sitting there. Time felt warped, like a bad dream you couldn't wake up from. I kept thinking it was going to move, make some sound, give me a reason to bolt. But it didn't. It just stood there in the middle of the road like it was daring me to make a move. I finally decided I was done. I wasn't sticking around to figure out what the hell it was. The more I sat there, the more that feeling of dread crept up my spine. It was like everything around me was pressing in. The night felt heavier, like the weight of the dark was closing in. I slammed the truck into gear, didn't even look at the road. I gunned it, tires screeching, and shot past it, hoping I wouldn't see it in the rear view. I didn't, but that didn't make me feel better. I kept my eyes glued to the road for the next few miles, barely breathing. Every time I looked into the side mirror, I half expected to see something following me, but the road stayed empty, just the headlights in the dark. I don't know what I was hoping for, what I thought I might see. Maybe I wanted some reassurance that it was just a trick of the mind, something my tired eyes had conjured up. But deep down, I knew that wasn't the case. What I saw wasn't something you'd just imagine. After what felt like an eternity, I hit the end of the stretch, the lights of civilization finally appearing in the distance. That's when I pulled off, my heart still racing. But it wasn't over, not yet. I stopped, got out of the truck, and stared back toward the Everglades. Nothing. Not a thing in sight. I thought maybe I could convince myself it was all in my head, but I knew better. I've been on chrome countless times, always with the hum of my truck and the constant feeling of time passing. But that night, that was different. I couldn't shake the feeling that I'd crossed paths with something that wasn't supposed to be there, something that shouldn't have been walking that road. I don't drive chrome at night anymore. Some things you don't challenge. Some things you just keep moving past. Thanks for watching. Don't leave before leaving a like to this video. Also hit the subscribe button to support my work. And as always, have a horrific nightmare, my dear.